For video, images, video, and audio podcast of our show, I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
And you heard Democracy Now! On WUSB Stony Brook, where the time is 6 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Wall. I'll be right with you. Please continue to hold. Okay, I'm sorry for the delay. It's hectic, as always. This is especially hectic because it's a fundraising show. So I had a lot of paperwork to fill out. And still filling out, in fact, of various things. If you just want to donate to the station and you don't want to hear all the reasons why, call 631-632-9872. That spells out 631-632-WUSB. And pledge. We have all sorts of amounts. We're going to be getting into them in the minutes ahead in this hour on this day before Halloween 2007. This is Emmanuel. I'm back live, and I think I'll be back for a little while without gallivanting off someplace. Just got back from Brazil yesterday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. That was fun. You know, I got back at 6 o'clock in the morning But by the time I got out here, it was like close to 11. You know, you have to wait for hours and hours for eastbound trains during rush hour. It's really pretty pathetic. And all my travels around the world this year, I think that's the longest I ever had to wait for anything, is the train that comes back out here in the middle of the day. Unreal. And of course, when you finally get that train, it's mobbed because it's the only one. If you miss that one, you've lost your job because you can't make it to work in time. You have to wait another 2 hours. It's ridiculous. But that's not what I'm here to talk about tonight. Here to talk about all sorts of things, to give people updates on all sorts of happenings that are going on. And of course, also to keep this place afloat by hopefully getting as many phone calls as is humanly possible. 631-632-9872. And there are humans in there. I see them ready to take your phone call. So please, if you're listening live, and hopefully you are listening live, we try to drill that into your head that listening live is important. Because this is a call-in program. Not tonight. It won't be a call-in program tonight, I'm afraid, because we're taking the calls for the pledges. But we do try and take phone calls as often as we can. And the only reason that we're here now is because, well, we have the support of all sorts of entities, human beings like you being one of them, and sponsors and corporations not being one of those entities. So that's what keeps non-commercial radio going. And I guess I can point out now that we have a special pledge level of $75. And for that $75, this is the first time ever these words have been spoken, we will give you, in addition to the various things that you'll get for $75 for pledging to WUSB, I think that includes shirts and hats and things like that. They know in the tally room exactly what that comprises. But in addition to that, we have something that is just being produced right now as I speak. As I speak, there are people hard at work making this. Oh, do you feel the anticipation? All right, I'm not going to make you wait any longer. There is a brand new 2600 sweatshirt being produced. Now, that's all I am authorized to say. I had to fight to get to the point where we could actually offer this before it was offered to the masses. Yeah, you know, the masses, the ones out there that are waiting for things like this and jump on them as soon as they get announced to the world. Yes, there is a new 2600 sweatshirt being produced. It is nothing, I say, again, it is nothing like the old ones. It's different. It's new. Well, obviously it's new, but it's different in the way that it looks. And, I guess it's not different in the way that it feels, because it's going to be the same basic material, but it's got a very different look. And this product, this piece of merchandise, will be announced sometime in November to the masses. Of which you're not one, because you're a listener. You're listening to the show, and you're one of the special people. Special people, yes. So we're offering this to you for a pledge of $75. You will be among the first, assuming you pay up, to get the new, brand new 2600 sweatshirt. What does it look like? What kind of design? I can't say anymore. I can't tell you any more than that. In fact, I've already probably gone too far. I'm going to catch some heat when I get back to the office about this. So, good deal or not a good deal, you decide. But regardless of whether or not you think it's a good or bad deal, supporting the radio station, come on, that's got to be the reason. That's got to be the reason behind it all. All right, so you'll get the things that you normally get for pledging $75 plus. You'll get the 2600 sweatshirt if you call during Off the Wall. That's within the next hour. And to avoid the rush, which is inevitable, call now. 631-632-9872. Country code 1, in case you're out of the country. I was out of the country. I was in Brazil. I was wandering around the city of São Paulo. Let me backtrack a little bit, because I was also in Texas. Kind of a weird combination, but the two events kind of lined up simultaneously, where you had the Maker Faire in Austin, Texas, which is something coordinated by Make Magazine and a whole bunch of people who like to build things. Basically, that coincided. Actually, it was 1 week ahead of a hacker convention or hacker conference taking place in Brazil. And so I decided to kind of make a double header out of it. It only took about a week. I went down to Austin, I think it was a week ago Thursday. Yeah, last Thursday, a week ago before that. And I got to tell you, that was the trip from hell. It really was. Something simple like getting to Austin, Texas. And I flew out of Long Island. We have an airport here on Long Island called Long Island MacArthur Airport. It's got the three-letter acronym ISP for ISLIP. It's kind of a cool acronym to have. But I was supposed to fly to Chicago and then from Chicago connect to Austin. And that's kind of how it worked. And I'll say it right off the bat because, you know, we talk about phone companies on the other show and we talk about when certain companies do good things, when certain companies do bad things. It's not an endorsement. It's not a commercial. It's just simply stating facts. So Southwest was the airline that I flew to Chicago. And it was fine. It was okay. Everything was nice. You don't get food on that airline. You just get some peanuts thrown at you. And maybe a glass of something, like orange juice. That's about it. All right, and that's what flying with them is like. Their seats are a little nice because I think they're made out of leather or something. But other than that, it's just normal flying an American no-frills type of outfit. Well, all was fine and good until we got to Chicago. And landing in Chicago, my God, I've never seen anything so tumultuous in my life. There was a storm in full progress as we were heading in. Now, I'm used to turbulence when you're up in the sky, way up in the sky. I'm not used to turbulence when you're about to touch down onto the ground. You know, the plane is still lurching in that way it does up there. And, they were warning us. They were saying it's going to be a little bumpy, but wow, it was really bumpy. And it felt like we were still bumping after we touched down. And, talk about drinks. I think the pilot got a good stiff drink after that landing. So anyway, we were there in Chicago and, because of the storm, obviously we knew there were going to be a couple of problems. Delay of some sort, perhaps. I already had 2 hours to kill in the airport before my next flight to Austin. So I figured, you know, it would all kind of blow over by then, hopefully. But it didn't. Actually, it did, but it didn't in the world of the airlines. See, what happened was the plane that was supposed to connect us to Austin was somewhere else. It was flying. I don't know where it was flying from, but they told us that it was forced to land in Cleveland. Isn't that great when a plane is forced to land? You ever been on an airplane that's forced to land somewhere? It's, I guess it's kind of frightening. I don't think they say it that way when you're on the plane. But our plane was in Cleveland, and now we had to wait for it to get clearance to come back to Chicago. It was forced to land because of the storm in Chicago. Then the story changed. Then it turned into the plane was actually in Columbus, not in Cleveland. Fine, whatever. All those cities in Ohio, they sound the same, I guess. So an hour or two passes, and they're basically on the PA system telling us, we don't know anything. We're trying to reach Columbus. Like, it's this big, distant place, you know, far off in the galaxy someplace. We're trying to make contact with Columbus. We haven't been able to reach them. These are people in their own company that they can't reach in a city that's no more than a couple hundred miles away, if that much. But no, they couldn't reach them. And they said because the storm system was continuing to cause havoc all throughout, meanwhile it stopped raining an hour ago, that there were all sorts of delays throughout the system and that we'd have to continue waiting. Please be patient, and we're doing the best we can, and it's an inconvenience for us as well. You know, that kind of folksy way that they have. Southwest is known for this. And the people were so patient. We were just sitting there, you know, hanging out, reading magazines, charging our laptops because they were good enough in the Chicago airport to have some AC outlets. Of course, they were all filled, so I came along with my power strip. You ever want to be popular in an airport? Walk around with a power strip. You plug that thing in, all of a sudden, 6 more people can start charging their cell phones and laptops and who knows what else. So that's when I feel down, I go to the airports and walk around with my power strip. Good way to make friends. So it's now like, it's approaching, I think, 8, 9 o'clock. We're supposed to take off at 7. Still no word. No word anywhere. I got the bright idea to get on the internet and actually check myself to see what they were saying on their own website, Southwest Airlines website. And turns out they had an exact prediction as to what time we were going to be leaving on their website. It was all there. They were saying we were going to leave not until 11 o'clock. We weren't going to arrive until something like 1:30 in the morning. Yeah. They knew nothing in the terminal, but the website was telling us exactly what was going on. And on top of everything else, I decided, why not? I'll go to weather.gov, which is a great site to check out weather conditions, and I'll see what the weather is like in Columbus, see how bad this storm is. So I pulled up the radar, just like the guy on the TV news is able to do. And guess what? There wasn't a cloud in the sky anywhere near the place. Yeah, they were just having a great time in Columbus under clear skies. But in the terminal, they were telling us that, yeah, there's a horrible storm in Columbus, and we don't know because we can't reach them what time the plane's going to arrive, so we can't tell you what time you're going to... Please be patient. We're doing the best we can. Oh, my God, they were lying to us. They were lying through their teeth. And I could have caused such an uproar, but, you know, everyone's in such a nice mood in that place. It's all that Midwestern attitude of hospitality. If people could have baked pies and cookies, they would have done that and passed them around. So we spent the night just waiting for the plane to finally get to us. I didn't see a single temper tantrum at all. I didn't want to spoil that. I knew what was going on. My biggest problem was the rental car waiting for me in Austin, where they closed at 1 o'clock in the morning. And how was I going to get around after 1 o'clock in the morning? So I had to call Hertz. Yeah, okay, I'm saying their name too. I'm sorry. But it's true. I'm telling a true story here. Called Hertz, said, listen, guys, I have no control over this. And the theme for the night seemed to be, it's not my fault. It's not our, it's bad. It sucks that everybody's late, but it's God. He did it. It's the weather. So, not my responsibility. My plane is running on 6 hours late now, which is probably the worst travel experience on airplanes I've had as far as lateness. So can you please stay there until 1:30? I know you close at 1 o'clock. Can you stay until 1:30? Because that's when my plane gets in. If there's anything I could do, I'd do it, but there's nothing I can do. What can I do? And they took down the information. I wasn't speaking to the people in Austin. I was speaking to some centralized place, who knows where. And they said they'd make sure that they knew about this. Meanwhile, I'm supposed to meet a friend. We had this all worked out. He was flying out of LaGuardia on Delta, and I was flying out of Long Island on Islip and hopping through Chicago. He was going to get to Austin 20 minutes before me to the same airport. It would have been kind of cool to sort of meet up at that point after flying out of different airports that are local. Of course, he got there only 10 minutes late. And the Delta flight that he was supposed to fly, in fact, has a reputation. Yeah, certain flights have reputations. This flight had a reputation of being notoriously late. So we had figured from the beginning that if anybody was going to be late, it was going to be he who was going to be late. But it wasn't to be so. He was then stuck in the airport with no rental car because it was in my name. And he also went up to the desk and asked them, please stay and make sure that you're there when Emmanuel gets here at 1:30 in the morning. And then he had to take a taxi or something because hanging out in airports for 6 hours is no fun, trust me. So finally, we take off, or we get on the plane shortly after 11, just like the website said. And then the pilot tells us that, we're online for takeoff. So it'll just be a little while longer. We're sitting there on the plane, on the runway, or whatever they call that, waiting to get clearance to take off, and we're online. Here's the thing, and this is what kind of bugs me here. I mean, if you're going to lie to people, at least do a good job of it. When you're online someplace, and you can test this theory out if you want, go to a supermarket, go to a car wash, go to places where lines exist. What happens when the people in front of you, or the people way in front of you, what happens when they're dealt with? No, it's not rhetorical. It's a real question. What happens? Yes, the line moves up. The second person becomes the first person. The third person becomes the second person, etc., etc. You know you're on a line because the line keeps inching forward. We were sitting for 35 minutes without moving 1 millimeter. That's not being online. That's being kept out of the line. That's being put aside. That's being forgotten about. And that's what happened to us. We weren't online. We were being bypassed. We saw planes passing around us like we were some disabled car on the Long Island Expressway, pulled over to the shoulder. I think the problem is that Southwest Airlines has no respect among the rest of the airplanes. I think everyone feels they can just go around them. And that's probably what happened in Columbus. That plane was waiting to take off in Columbus, but wasn't allowed to because all the bigger planes pushed it aside. And that's what happened to us in Chicago. And that's why I arrived in Austin at about 2:30 in the morning. But, those folks at Hertz waited. They waited, and I got to give them credit for that. In fact, when I went up to the desk, they knew who I was. My friend had already talked to them. They were ready to spend the whole night there, and that was pretty cool of them. And in fact, there were some other rental companies, like Alamo, for instance, where they had closed, and they had some incensed customers who were yelling and screaming on the phone, saying, "You took my money, and now you're closed, and what am I supposed to do?" Blah blah blah. And I think they were brought over to the other side and helped by the company that actually stayed there. So that was kind of an interesting way to start off the whole adventure, which really turned into a big adventure. Austin is always a fun place to be. Always a great place to wander around, whether it's on Guadalupe or Sixth Street or we went to the bridge. There's a bridge that goes over, I think it's Congress Street, and every night at sundown, and you can check this out, this is the most incredible sight. There are bats that fly out of the bottom of the bridge and into the sky. Bats. Yeah, for some reason, they pick that bridge. They stay underneath all day long, and then as soon as the sun goes down, they fly. That's not the incredible sight. Did I imply that? No. That's not the incredible sight. The incredible sight is the hundreds and hundreds of locals who congregate, and tourists too, waiting, just standing there on top of the bridge, below the bridge, on various jogging paths, waiting to see these bats and the kinds of conversations you overhear, the gossip that involves Texans and things like that. It's like being straight in an episode of King of the Hill. It really is. I'm not kidding. And so you stand around with these people for upwards of 45 minutes waiting for the damn bats to wake up and start flying around. And you know what? They don't always do it. They didn't do it the night we were there. No, they did not. So, if you ever want to waste time in Austin, go to that bridge and wait for the damn bats. Actually, I think the problem was that it's too late in the season. They don't really have winter down there, but they have something that sort of approaches it. And apparently that's offensive to the bats, so they don't actually fly out in as many numbers. We heard them. We heard all the squeaking and squealing, but not much else. There was that. The other thing that, of course, I was very interested in, if you recall, last time I was in Austin during the spring, I discovered a radio station called KPWR, which actually is not their real call letters because they're not a real radio station, meaning, well, that's not really fair. They are a real radio station, but they're not a licensed radio station. There is a KPWR someplace else, and they're just using those letters because it kind of means power, PWR. And they're still on the air, 91.1, Austin, Texas. You can drive all around the city and hear really fresh sounds, enthusiastic people who are not under FCC restrictions, meaning that they can talk freely. And it's just kind of cool to hear that sort of thing. And they're actually a web station. If you go to KPWR, type that into Google. I'm sure you'll find them. And what somebody is doing is simply taking that that online signal and rebroadcasting it on a vacant frequency. And it's terrific. They've been doing it ever since I was there last. They're still going. So that was heartening. Austin is the kind of place where things like that happen, where there's all sorts of creativity and just standing up to authority and doing things your own way. Awfully cool. Went by the station. Unfortunately, there was nobody there when I went by. I think it was one of their off hours. They do have those occasionally. But I did see a giant turkey outside the place, and that was kind of weird. Walking outside the offices, and all of a sudden this giant turkey just casually strolls by. They also have these places in Austin. Oh, I'm sorry. I should be getting the phone number, shouldn't I? See, we have one phone call. 631-632-WUSB. 631-632-9872. We're in the middle of a fundraiser, folks. Yes, and to get me to tell a story like this, it takes a lot of coaxing, all right? It really does. So having people there that are calling in, making the place exist, that makes it all possible. Yeah, and if you demand that no stories like this be told in the future, we'll listen to you because you're supporting us. Again, $75 pledge, the new 2600 sweatshirt, and the WUSB sweatshirt, too. In addition, I think you can get two sweatshirts for $75. And maybe even a hat on top of that. Is that possible? I think for $75, you can get a hat and a WUSB sweatshirt normally. In addition to that, we're throwing in the brand new, unreleased as of yet, 2600 sweatshirt. So please, 631-632-9872. Whether you're local, whether you're in some other state, in some other country, please, please give us a call. We really are depending on you. And there are a lot of people in there, and I'll feel like a fool if I walk out of the show afterwards and they didn't each take a pledge, because that's what they came in here for. 631-632-9872. All right, what else? Yes, so down in Austin, they have these places called Alamo Draft Houses. What they are, they're basically a chain of theaters, except in these theaters, you can actually have food served to you during the film. It's the most incredible thing. They'll bring beer to you. They'll bring hamburgers. They'll bring all sorts of things, pita and hummus and pretty good menu, glasses of wine, bottles of wine, whatever it is you want. And they do it in such a way that you're watching the film and they're sort of scurrying in front of you because there's a table where normally there would be another row of chairs. And they take your order, you fill it out on a piece of paper, they silently bring it, they silently leave you a bill later, then you silently pay it, and then they silently bring you a receipt, and it's all over. Incredible. And this particular time was even better because they were having a special screening of the film Halloween, you know, the John Carpenter film from years ago. And I had never realized how incredibly bad this film was until they showed it in a particular way of having these guys give commentary throughout and also a little sideshow of various sorts, where basically you just point out the most inane things in the film. It's kind of like watching Mystery Science Theater 3000, except it's right there. And they're able to add all sorts of effects and just have all kinds of fun. The audience was so into this, and it was one of the best film experiences I think I've had in quite a long time. And I've heard that one of these Alamo Draft Houses is actually coming to New York. So we'll see how that goes. That would be kind of incredible if something like that actually happened. So, yeah, Austin, amazing, magical place, always fun to go to. But as I said, this was only the first leg. This only lasted a couple of days. I was really supposed to go to, oh, thank you, late-breaking bulletin. What we got here? The stream has been down the whole show. It's on now. Okay, thank you so much. What would it be? What would it be if the show did not have technical problems? All right, listen, you can hear the first part of the show on the archives, because the archives will work. All right, but basically what's happening now, if you're listening to us, you're just jumping in on the internet stream. That damn stream. I'm going to have a word with it after the show. Okay, if you're just listening now, and you don't know what's going on, you're listening to Off the Wall, I'm in the middle of a story, but it's okay, because the story has two parts, and I'm into the second part now. So you don't have to know the first part to know the second part. You can listen to it later and link them together. The thing that transcends the parts of the story is the fact that we're in the middle of a fundraiser. Yeah, and we need you to give us a call. We have special premiums for you. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. The special premium we have at the moment, the real special premium, if I do say so myself, is the brand new 2600 sweatshirt. Not like the sweatshirts of old. This is a different kind, a different one. Totally different. New design, new look, a new idea. And that's all I can say. I can't give you more details than that. And it's not because I don't know what they are. I know what people are thinking. Oh, he hasn't even worked on the sweatshirt at all. Doesn't exist. Has no idea what it's going to look like. Well, that's a pretty boneheaded thing to say, don't you think? I mean, don't you think I'd come in here and know exactly what it is that I'm offering? Yeah, all right, you should take it back. Yeah, the sweatshirts exist. They do. And they're cool. They're really cool. But they're just not out yet. They'll be out probably in about a week or so, maybe two. But you can get the jump by calling us, 631-632-9872, a pledge of $75. You'll be among the first to get the brand new 2600 sweatshirt. Now, why should you jump into this without even knowing what they look like? Have a little faith. Have a little faith in the kinds of things that we will come up with. Have we ever designed a t-shirt that looks ugly? I think not. But regardless, even if we did design a shirt that looked ugly, The fact of the matter is, it's the station that benefits from this, the station that needs to survive, and that's why we're donating the sweatshirts to the station. And in addition to the 2600 sweatshirt, you'll get whatever comes with this, a normal $75 pledge, which I think is a sweatshirt and a hat. The Tali people can clarify that. So there are other things you can get. Not another 2600 sweatshirt. You can get a WUSB sweatshirt. Yeah, that's how that works. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. I would like to see the phone ring to kind of prove that the stream is working. Not just make the phone ring and then hang up to prove it's working. Call in, make a pledge to prove that not only the stream, but my words are working. All right, 631-632-WUSB. That is our phone number. And what I'd like to do is continue with the story. But I'd like to also be able to look over at the phone and see that it's ringing. That'll make the story all the better. 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. And I should also point out that there are many, many other things that you can get for your pledges. We have all sorts of different levels, higher levels, lower levels. And if you call us, the people on the other end of the phone will be more than happy to work with you to give you something that will make you very happy. If supporting the radio station isn't making you happy enough as it is. And as someone who has called in myself, it does make you happy to know that you're helping out. There aren't radio stations like this in very many places anymore. The reason for that is because, well, it's expensive to run a radio station, and there's lots of entities out there that are willing to shell over huge amounts of money to licensees to take over stations and turn them into either NPR or religion or something like that. If you don't believe me, just tune around your dial. You'll see what I'm talking about. If you don't hear a commercial radio station with all sorts of products being crammed down your throat, you'll hear the same program repeated maybe six or seven different times on different frequencies. Or you'll hear the word of God being preached to you. Yeah, it could happen. It's not in the imminent future here, but without our listeners, we're nothing. So please, make us be something. 631-632-9872. All right, so the rest of the journey that I was just on took place in Brazil, and I went down there from Austin. Actually, I had to fly Austin to Dallas, and then from Dallas to São Paulo. And of course, you know, when you fly a route like that, you get all kinds of suspicious looks, and I got four S's on my boarding pass, as I expected to get, and got the royal treatment of being searched and questioned. That's what you expect, you know? I didn't get it coming back into the country this time. I got that last time. But going out, yeah, the whole nine yards. So, Brazil, São Paulo, incredible place, huge city. A lot to take in. And what happened was, it's a nine-hour flight. Somehow I thought being down in Texas, I'd be closer to Brazil, but that didn't work out that way. I think because it's further to the west, that makes it further away or the same amount of distance as New York. So it was a flight of about 9 or 10 hours. I had a nice conversation with the guy next to me. And turns out we knew some of the same small towns in Wisconsin, of all places. That was awfully weird. And this guy actually was a Brazilian citizen who lived in San Diego. And if you recall, San Diego was at the moment burning. And his brother was a firefighter, currently fighting the fires in San Diego. Have they gone out? Have those fires gone out? I hope they have. Not belittling them, but we haven't heard anything on the news over here on the East Coast. So either they got bored with the story or the fires are out. I don't know. So that was definitely a topic of conversation. Plus just the Brazilian way of doing things, various customs and habits and history and things like that. Trying to learn as much as possible about the country in a limited amount of time. I was only there for a few days, so I really didn't have as much of an opportunity as I would have liked to have had. And of course, I can't sleep on planes. That's something that I've always not been able to do. So by the time I got there, it was about 9 in the morning. And I was still awake, kind of tired, but still awake and ready to go through an entire day. And then we had all kinds of website domain issues that I had to deal with back home. I'm not going to get into that here because that would just take too long. Maybe on Off the Hook next week, we'll talk about that. So that basically kept me from going to sleep, and I had to deal with that. And then it was time to meet people for dinner, so I had to go out again. I was up basically for, I guess, almost 48 hours because I didn't really sleep the night before that either. But it was fine. You know, when you're hanging out with people in a festive environment, doesn't matter. You don't need sleep. You just kind of keep going. You move on vapors. And so we hung out in various establishments. I had my first taste of this beer called Schopp, which basically, I don't know much about it right now. I intend to learn more. But the foam on this beer is like cream. It's not like foam. It's so fine and easy to deal with. And it's a typically Brazilian thing. I don't know if you can get it here. It's one of these other things I have to try and import now. The conference that took place actually took place in a bar. It's true. It's kind of like how PumpCon works here in the States, which, by the way, I missed because I was down there. I'm sorry about that. Hacker conferences taking place in bars. It's kind of a different way of expressing yourself, but it's also a more intimate way, I guess. And so we hung out there, met a whole lot of different people, heard all sorts of interesting talks, and spent the rest of the time just kind of wandering around the city. Went to this place. This is amazing. Went to this place called Fogo de Chao. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. Fogo de Chao. It's like, how do I describe this? Oh, it's a Brazilian barbecue place, but it's not like what you might expect a barbecue to be. Basically, you're in this huge room, and all these waiters, and there must be about 50 of the waiters, are constantly coming out to all the different tables, carrying these huge sides of meat that have just been cooked. You've got the sirloin, you've got the shoulder, you've got the oxtail, you've got all sorts of things that are just being paraded around the room, and they come up to you, and they ask you, do you want some of this? You want a piece of this? And if you say yes, basically what they take out this huge knife, this huge dagger, and they start slicing the side of it, and you're supposed to take this clamp that's on the table and hold on to the piece of meat, so that when the guy finishes slicing off the side, it doesn't fall to the floor. And you clamp it, and then you put it on your plate, then he moves on. And then the next guy comes. And he's got some other part of the animal. And there's a map. There is a map on the table of the animal, which I'm not sure what the animal was. I want to say cow, but I think it was an ox. It had a hump on the top. Cows don't have humps, do they? Well, anyway, a diagram of the meat telling you where everything is, really kind of handy thing to have. And I use every single piece, virtually. There's this whole elaborate signaling system that they also have, which I didn't know about right away, but apparently the coasters that are used for cups, they can either be red or green. And if they're green, you're going to be bombarded with waiters who just keep coming by with all these huge racks of meat of all sorts. And not only beef, it's also lamb, and you get some other guy walks around with chicken hearts. Not kidding. Many animals were harmed in the making of this meal, believe me. Not the place for a lot of people I know. But when you're with the Romans, you got to do as the Romans do. And there weren't many Romans there, but there were a lot of Brazilians, and we were hanging out with all of them, and it was a trip, I got to tell you. The efficiency of this place was something to behold in and of itself. Now, something else you can do in Brazilian restaurants at the moment, you can smoke. Now, I say that like it's a good thing, when normally I would say that is a horrible thing because I can't stand cigarette smoke, but for some reason, when I was there, it didn't bother me, maybe because everybody was just having so much fun. And so people would be smoking inside the restaurant. It was a huge room, so maybe that also made it not as bad. But here's the thing. When you took a cigarette out and held it to your mouth, inside of a second, maybe two, somebody would magically appear. One of the wait staff would magically appear with a lighter, and he would light it in front of your face. It was unreal. It was uncanny. It was kind of scary. And we got to the point of playing a little game where we just sort of whip out cigarettes to see how quickly they would come. They would run. I don't know how they know this. They have some sort of signaling system built into them. They would run across the room and instantly be there to light the cigarette at just the proper moment. And there was another signaling system, too. Apparently, I didn't know about this one. But you're eating all this meat on your plate, and it gets a little messy after a while, especially if there are pieces of gristle that you want to discard. And so there's a signal. If you want a new plate, you simply take your fork and your knife and you put it to the side, and the plate's empty. And inside of 5 seconds, some guy comes and swaps out your plate. Unbelievable. I mentioned to somebody at the table, you know, this place is incredible. I would love to see what their kitchen looks like. And somehow, within 10 seconds, took a little longer this time, a tour was arranged. Just like that. And we were being hustled into the kitchen to see just what this place was like. Unreal. It's like superhuman strengths they have. So yeah, that was Fogo de Chao. And that was a trip and a half right there. Witnessing traffic in Brazil, in São Paulo, is also another experience. They have so much traffic. It's god-awful, to be honest. You can smell the exhaust. You never get any place fast unless you go in the middle of the night. And they're known for this. They're known for long, huge traffic jams. Whether you're in a bus, whether you're in a car, it doesn't matter. And the irony of this is that they have a pretty decent metro. It's kind of big, but the city is huge, so it's very, very hard to expand it, to get on with transporting people all over the place. But if they were to expand that metro, they would have a pretty awesome way of getting around, because there's so many different parts of the city. But yeah, the traffic, wow. And it's hard as a pedestrian to cross streets. A lot of them don't have walk signs, so you sort of have to take your chances and hope that you get through okay. Imagine a street as wide as, say, Queens Boulevard, without a don't walk sign, without even a green light that you can see. There's one that the cars can see, but there's not one you can see. Yeah, it's pretty scary. Pretty scary in many ways. Another thing that's scary, and I was told this, and why don't I see the phones ringing? 631-632-9872. The deal was I was going to keep talking, and the phones would ring as I was talking. I'm looking over. There are no calls on the line. 631-632-9872. We're donating sweatshirts. It's going to be winter soon. You can have two sweatshirts, one WUSB sweatshirt, one 2600 sweatshirt, for a pledge of $75. And you might even get a hat thrown in. Think about that. 631-632-9872. Think about the fact that your $75 will actually go towards operating this place, towards keeping us on the air. Yeah, it's true. It's true. We're a small community station here in Stony Brook, New York, affiliated with the State University at Stony Brook, and we've been around since 1977. But if we're going to be around another 30 years, we need to hear from our listeners. We need to know you're out there. Otherwise, what's the point? 631-632-9872. I know there are people listening locally, so I'm not going to just wait to see the people from the internet call in 2 minutes, because it takes that long for the signal to get there. There are people there on the roads right now driving around who are sympathizing with me just a moment ago, saying, yeah, the traffic really sucks. How come you're not calling? Oh, I know, there's a law against talking on the cell phone, but you break that all the time when you drive, don't you? Yeah, you do. So what, we're not good enough to break the law for, huh? Yeah. Well, I shouldn't go down that path, should I? Okay, well, how about this? Just give us a phone call. Pull over to the side of the road, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Show some support. We'll show some gratitude. And this place will become stronger and stay on the air, which is what we all want, right? Okay. Another thing in São Paulo, I guess, became a big part of. Well, I didn't become a big part of it, but the people I was with were really into going out to clubs every night. And I haven't been out to clubs in quite a while. I'm not really a club person. Yeah, I'm going to dispel that myth right now. Not really a club person. I don't know why. Just never really got into it. And not just now, in the past. Thank you for that call. 631-632-9872. There's just something about it. There's just something about the loud music, not being able to talk to people, and sometimes a smoky environment. In fact, there are lots of times a smoky environment. Kind of the phoniness of the whole thing. But, you know, again, when in Rome, you do as the Romans do, and I was there. And one time, I even had to wait online. I got there after some other people went. I had to wait online for an hour just to get into this place, where presumably I'd pay a huge cover charge, which actually I didn't have to pay because we had a free pass. So I didn't know that at the time. And stand around inside a place where they're playing very loud music, constantly, not stopping. And it goes until 6 o'clock in the morning. And it's all about how you look, and it's all about the people you're with, and that's what the club scene is. Never did understand it. But in the end, it's about being with your friends, the people you're hanging out with, and having experiences that you can remember, and just trying something different. I'm thinking, you know, so many people that I know, standing on that line for an hour, waiting to get into this place where deafening music was going to greet them, how many people I know would just utter some sort of obscenity and just walk away and say, I'm not going to do this. And yeah, you know, okay, you know exactly what you're doing at that stage. You know what kind of night you're going to have. Or you could try something a little different, even though it's something that you think is not your thing. You can try something a bit different for once. And so many people I know don't do that. And I'm like that too a lot of times, where basically I just want to do things a certain way or no way at all. So that's what I learn when I go to foreign places, hang out with people in their cities. I just kind of let them drive the events, take us to different places, and just sort of drink it all in, literally, too. And you do have the most amazing conversations and experiences. And you see all sorts of people, and you you hear things you wouldn't have heard normally. One thing I learned through all this was that a lot of these places, a lot of these clubs seem to be sponsored by American alcohol companies, like Jack Daniel's, for instance. My God. We were in this one place that just had Jack Daniel's signs every place, and when the band started playing, you would think their name was Jack Daniel's because that's all you could see all around them. And so I went on the internet when I got back, and I looked up Jack Daniel's and music and things like that, and I discovered that, these guys really have plunged headlong into the music scene. They have this thing called Studio Number 7, where they sponsor music throughout the world, not just in the States, but all over the place. You go to their website, it is jdstudio.no7.com, 7 being the number 7, and you'll see every single country. If you click on it, you'll see all these different bar bands that you can go to and be deluged with Jack Daniel's propaganda. It's incredible what they've done. And something else I found on this website, which I thought was kind of funny, they have a linking form. You have to sign an agreement or check a box if you want to link to their website. These guys have no semblance of reality, do they? Each site shall only market products to adults and shall have an independently audited demographic indicating at least 70% of its site visitors are of legal drinking age. This is if you want to link to Jack Daniel's. Now, of course, those of us in the real world know that we can link to whoever we damn well please. You don't need to sign an agreement to link to somebody. But there are companies that will continue to try and push things like this. Each site will comply with the laws, local industry codes, and regulations. No site will use religious or other cultural symbols in a way that is likely to offend a particular religious ethnic group. No site will use... This is good. No site will use sexual slang situations or depictions or exploit the human form in any manner that offends local standards of decency. You may not use the link on any website that contains or links to any other websites that contain obscene, discriminatory, offensive, political, or pornographic material of any kind. I love how political is just thrown in there. Oh, you don't want any politics. No pornography, no politics. Unbelievable. Now, I don't really want to link to Jack Daniel's, but this kind of makes me want to. Oh, boy. All right. That's pretty much everything I've got to say. Not much insofar as news updates back home, except, my God, Oh, wow. Some of the things that were happening while I was away, that fake press conference by FEMA, what are these guys smoking? During the San Diego fires, they apparently gave 15 minutes notice for all the reporters to come down and ask them questions, and that wasn't enough time for anybody to even get out of bed. And they decided to have their own press conference with their own employees and pass it off as real press asking real questions. And, of course, word got out, and they're being lambasted for it, rightfully so. Today, it's revealed that the State Department offered the Blackwater thugs immunity. So it's likely they will never, ever be prosecuted for murder. Now, I don't know if they're guilty or not, but we'll never know. We'll never have a trial, will we? And in fact, I'd like to also point out that they are unfairly being protected. We don't even have their names. So it's not exactly a fair situation to start with, and I can only imagine what the people in Iraq, the people who lost relatives in this particular melee, melee is the wrong word. That implies two-sided fighting, doesn't it? Massacre, then. That's the word. Yeah, this massacre. How they feel. Really, really sad. Okay, again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. Please, please, give us a call. We only have about 10 minutes left. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to make an outgoing phone call because I'm supposed to have this guy on a few minutes ago, actually, and kind of talked a little bit too much. Let me get an outside line. We have a dial tone. Good. Okay. Hopefully this will work. Nice strong ring there.
Hello.
Hello, is this Bernie?
Speaking.
Bernie, hi, it's Emmanuel from Off the Wall tonight.
Hello, Emmanuel.
Sorry it took so long to call you. I got in the middle of a story.
No problem.
Yeah, so move to a much more somber note, we're not on the air this week for Off the Hook, but if people listen to the show last time we were on, we had the very, very disturbing news about one of our co-hosts on Off the Hook, the familiar voice of Jim, who many of you know. He had suffered a massive stroke a few weeks ago, and when we talked last, he was in the ICU in a hospital in Brooklyn. There are some updates to his story, to his situation, and I guess I'd like to say that we can be cautiously optimistic. Do you think that's a fair thing to say?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, only a week or so ago, according to his sister, who flew over from Australia to be with Jim, it was literally touch and go as to his survival. And since then, last Wednesday, he was released from the ICU, the intensive care unit of a Lutheran Medical Center in Brooklyn, and appears that his life is not in the danger that it was in before, and he's in what's called the rehab ward of that medical center. And his sister informs me that she's very impressed with the rehab specialists that are treating him for his condition. So that's good news.
Well, the more disturbing part about all that, we've talked about this prior to air, is that he's having a lot of trouble speaking, enunciating of any sort. And I think you told me that even uttering a single word is enough to completely exhaust him. Is that true?
Yeah, and that's apparently, I've done a little bit of reading about stroke victims, and apparently your brain just gets shocked and a whole lot of things get miswired, or there's literally some brain damage. And your brain has to learn, with your help and the help of therapists, how to rewire itself to reform connections. But the brain's an amazing thing, and people who've suffered massive strokes have gotten a lot of their mental acuity back. Jim was able to utter a word last week, a few words. Understand that his first word out of his mouth was shoo. And I don't know what the context of that was, but his sister told me that he seemed very frustrated trying to come up with that word, but that he was finally able to. And she saw a positive sign in his frustration, in that he was aware of what he wanted to say and aware that, you know, he was trying really hard to say the word. So he's trying, he's not giving up, and I find that like Jim.
And, yeah.
Good news that he's forcing himself to enunciate words, and he's coming back. One of the things I heard from his sister was that he's undergoing one of the types of therapies undergoing in the rehab ward is called sound therapy, or maybe there's a more technical word for it. But from time to time, they put headphones on his ears, playing classical music, but it's apparently like highly filtered classified music, classical music. Maybe it's classified music. I don't know. That is supposed to have, just from studies they've found, helps stimulate the eardrums, which in turn stimulate certain sections of the brain. And they found this through years of research that this can be helpful. So that's one of the things he's doing. He's listening to classical music, and knowing Jim, he's probably enjoying it.
I hope so. It's just, to me, it's just it's really hard to just get my head around this, that he's there, and you know, his brain, and he's an incredibly articulate and smart person, but his brain is trying to communicate to us, and in a way, he's kind of trapped. You know, he's trying to get out and not knowing how to get out. I just can't imagine anything more frustrating than that. You know, you ever have a situation where you're trying to say something, you just can't get the words out, or maybe in a dream this happens to you? It's just, it seems like a kind of hell that I really, really, really hope that we figure out how to bring him out of.
What Jim's going through is probably well over 1,000 times worse than the frustration we experience when we just can't think of something and we're very frustrated.
Uh-huh.
2 years ago, I suffered a minor concussion, and for about a week, I could not read. My vision was not out of focus, but I could look at words on the page, and for the first time in my life since learning to read as a child, I couldn't look at words at a page and involuntarily read them. I mean, you know, you can't look at a word on a page and not read it. Once you learn how to read, it's impossible. Well, that happened to me a few years ago, and it was extremely frustrating. Not only that, but not knowing how long that condition would last, that was the scariest part. And mm-hmm. What Jim's undergoing, it must be 1,000 times worse than that.
Of course. I remember it was just about 2 years ago that I had a similar type of situation to, I think, what you described, where all of a sudden words weren't making sense to me, and I couldn't seem to communicate, and I thought I was having a stroke. And I went to the hospital, and they did all sorts of tests and told me it's probably just some kind of stress or something. It did happen right before one of these shows, in fact. But just to know that you want to say something and not being able to say it, that's, especially for somebody of Jim's intellect, that must be the most frustrating thing in the world. So, Bernie, I just hope that that we can figure out ways to help him, and to have the listeners help him as well, and bring him back, because he really is somebody that is great to have around.
Jim has a lot of friends.
He does.
A lot of them have never met him, just from listening to him on the shows and meeting him at Hope conferences and so forth. He's just incredibly brilliant guy. He's very articulate. He's got an amazing sense of humor. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, and
right,
many of our listeners don't already know. But I'm sure Jim is very frustrated, and I think one of the more frustrating things about this for him is not knowing how long this situation is going to last for him. He's just got a long road ahead of him, and
right,
I think with the help of with all of his friends, we're not going to let him down. We're gonna support him, and I do have an address where people can send cards to him, and I've been assured that the cards will be read to him.
Okay, read that address, and we're out of time, so please read that address.
Real quick, it's Lutheran Medical Center at 150 55th Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11220, and it should go to the attention of James Vicench, that's Vichench, at room number 3220. Should I read that one more time?
Yes, go ahead.
Again, Lutheran Medical Center, 150 55th Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11220. Attention, James Vicench, V-I-C-H-E-N-C-H, room number 3220. These cards will be read to him. So, and also people can email him. What would be the best address for listeners to send an email to Jim, which will be printed out and read to him?
Right. They should probably send that to the Off the Hook email address, oth@2600.com. And, of course, people who want to write to Off the Wall, otw@2600.com. Well, Bernie, these are encouraging words. It's a long, difficult road ahead for Jim, our co-host over at Off the Hook. And let's hope that that things work out. This is something we haven't been through before, and it's definitely tough. So thanks again to everybody who has written in so far. We've gotten so many nice letters, and thanks, Bernie, for giving us this update tonight.
We've gotten emails from dozens and dozens of people from around the world,
right,
expressing their concern and support, and sending their messages and humorous anecdotes to Jim. So I'm sure they can only help.
All right, thanks again. We'll see you on Off the Hook next week.
Okay.
Take care. Bernie S. from Off the Hook giving an update on Jim. You know what? We're out of time. Again, our phone number here, please show your support. Pledge to the station, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Stay tuned now for Finn, special on Tom Waits. The radio station goes on. Please join us and become a part of it, 631-632-9872.
Hey, what's up? This is JB from the Soul John Black, and you're listening to WUFB, Stony Brook, and let it warm you from top to bottom.
Hi, this is Gary Carney, WUSB Stony Brook, FM 90.1. Yeah.
Hey, kids, you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. This is Finn, and this is Finn's Revolution. And this is Tom Waits, right here on WUSB.